Most people will know you first and foremost as a poet, but you've done many things in your career. You've written essays, you're a scholar, you've done a lot of translation, and you're known for your Buddhism as well. And I wonder at this point in your career, how do you think of yourself? Do you think of yourself first and foremost as a poet?
Yeah, with my own, you know, provisos on how people think of poetry and what they think it is about. And I also have to point out that almost 50% of my writing is in prose. And that I've got a number of prose books out, some of which are quite active in the world and have had considerable influence in the environmental movement, and which I value very much. And I find that it is as challenging to me to be writing good prose as it is to be writing poetry, but it is a different kind of exercise.
And so when did you start writing in your life?
Well, all of us started scribbling when we were about in first grade, right? That's writing. You know, making graphic representations of spoken sounds. And language is all, of course, auditory, it's spoken sound. You know, like most people, I was taken by the possibility of the intense little lyric phraseology that children come up with, like, baby, baby, suck your toe all the way to Mexico, or kindergarten baby, wash your face with gravy. That kind of wordplay, children fall into it right away, and they love it. So I took a lot of pleasure in that when I was little, and also storytelling. So I just slipped into writing poems when I was around 15 or 16 out of, and this is where poetry comes from, intense emotional experiences of one sort or another. And most teenagers and most poets in the world, it seems, or many of them anyway, start out by writing poems about their sadness and also about their ecstasy in teenage love.
And that would go for you as well in your early poems?
Well, it's oddly enough, it was not true for me. I started writing poetry about mountaineering. That's what drove me into it. I started doing snow peak mountaineering in the Pacific Northwest when I was 15, and I couldn't get enough of it. Getting up very, very early in the morning and being up on the ice and snow when the daylight first comes, and risking yourself sometimes and all kinds of weird things happening. You never know what to expect. So I loved that, and I wrote some early poems about that. I found out about girls just a little bit later. But then I discovered the poetry that was in books and the poetry that is taught in classes. And, you know, that gave me another perspective. And so I moved on into being more literate and more literary in my writing in my late teens. And also started listening on Folkways records of the blues and the Appalachian folk songs. And I was playing the guitar and singing, and I learned to sing lots and lots of songs. And that was a big help, too.
For you, what's the distinction between the kind of ideas that make sense for a poem versus the kind of ideas that inspire a prose essay?
That is the critical question for people who are serious writers. And it has to do with the nature of metaphor, the nature of imagery, the choice of language, and the play of the imagination. And so I quote sometimes to make the point, an 18th century haiku poet whose name was Busan, who said it is extremely important to remain unprepared for yourself to write poetry. And that is exactly right. You do not write poetry from deliberate intentions. You write poetry when it comes to you. You can fog yourself to write prose, and you have to sometimes, but a poetry you can't fog yourself to. Either you do it or you don't do it. And, you know, somebody writes you or calls you and says, write me an anti-Vietnam War poem. You know, and you say, well, I'm waiting for it, but don't count on it till I get it. And so that's always true.
I think your style as a poet, at least at first, it seems very observational. There's a lot of very concrete imagery of things that you seem to be witnessing and in a way kind of bearing witness to, whether it's in the natural world or in human culture or looking at ancient myth or older traditions. So is that for you as a poet, is that part of that being unprepared in terms of just allowing yourself to observe in some way?
Well, that's, that's a kindergarten step is what that is. But you can't even be a bird watcher without having adequate and accurate observations. But learning to be an observer, which translates into, on a slightly larger scale, something that has become very popular in the United States recently, and I completely welcome it, which is the whole idea of the practice of mindfulness. You know, the term mindfulness is a very meaningful term. It means thinking clearly and observing correctly, both. And it means keeping calm. And it means knowing who you are and what your steps are. And so I certainly welcome that. And it is, of course, inspired by Buddhism.
I was interested in something that the poet Michael McClure said about your work, which is he described what you do as in the tradition of wisdom literature, which to me means in the tradition of, say, Lao Tzu and even maybe Rumi, the Sufi mystic poet, or concerned with these kind of spiritual questions on some level and writing for revelation in some way. Is that something that you identify with? Is that a characterization that you identify with?
I try not to be obvious.
What do you mean by that?
I wouldn't write like Rumi. Lao Tzu is probably a kind of poet, that text, but I wouldn't, try to write like that either. One can only write the kind of poetry that you write yourself. And you can't even dictate what it's supposed to be like or how it's going to come out. So my latest book of poems, which is just out right now, called This Present Moment, it's really different than what I've written before. A lot of it is. One doesn't want to repeat oneself too many times. Or as Peter Coyote says, don't buy your own poster.
That's a good line.
It's a great line.
Gary Snyder, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.